America Weekend. Roland Smith here with Carl Sabatino. Carl, the other night I was at a restaurant, and as usual, I became an observer of the patrons who were dining. I watched a father and son dining alone, not really having any communication. The father was on his cell phone, either surfing the net or doing something else, texting. And the kid, I would say maybe he was 11, 12, maybe 13, was just eating. Now, I was surprised because usually, as you will agree, that scenario is the other way around. Usually the kids are on the cell phone, if the parents allow it, and the adults are talking. But I thought the kid in this case was more adult than the adult because of the fact he was, I thought, kept trying to engage, I think it was his father, in some kind of dialogue. And, you know, to me, Carl, the key to dialogue is listening and sharing feelings.
Absolutely.
And this wasn't happening.
You're touching on a very sour point for me, I must tell you. I have seen that many, many times myself, and you're absolutely correct. It is the children that want to engage in the dialogue, not the elder person, whoever that elder, and I'm amazed by it, quite frankly. I have a real problem with cell phones and tablets and everything else at a table for dinner or eating. Sometimes it is necessary, and my wife and I will do it on occasion when we have to talk about something. And our little one has her tablet. She'll play with the tablet for a while, but we have to discuss something. She doesn't mind that. But when we're finished, the tablet's off, and then we engage in a family conversation. And this is in a restaurant, by the way. But I've noticed the same thing you've noticed. I'm like you. When I get into a place, I'm able to look around. I see that the kids at some point want to engage in dialogue. And where do we miss this here? Did I miss something here?
I'm not sure why it changed, except that I think technology moved us into a genre that does not fit dialogue.
Well, it doesn't. It doesn't lend to dialogue. It lends to isolation. And of course, I've told you the story when I went out with some young women who were essentially generally interviewing for a position, a job. And they were sitting at one end of the table and texting each other.
Right,
and I didn't know what to do with myself. I said, what is wrong with this picture? You are 10 feet, you're 5 feet from each other, and you're texting? And one of the young ladies turned to me and said, it's easier that way.
Than conversation?
Than conversation, which is exactly what I said.
Well, Margaret Mead, the great anthropologist,
yes,
once talked about the difficulty when we went to single car garages or even two car garages, and there was no space for an aging aunt or a uncle who needed a place to live.
Interesting.
And families got separated. They went to nursing homes,
yes,
or other kinds of adult homes.
Yes.
And she said at that time that there needs to be a constant association between generations in order to have agreement, in order to have understanding, in order to have cooperation between the generations.
Yes.
If you don't talk to one another, you don't have that.
And we're seeing that more and more. And I'm wondering what the cure is. I think the cure is the adults have to take center stage here.
I do. I agree. I mean, you have to be proactive here.
Yes, without question.
Rather than reactive to the needs of whatever text comes in.
These are tools. We have them. You have them. I have them. All of us do. These are tools for communication when necessary and wonderful research tools, I might add. They're fabulous research tools.
Well, I think they're wonderful now from the standpoint I have grandchildren who are in college. And to be able to text or to be able to send an email is a wonderful thing.
Absolutely wonderful.
And they live far away. So, I mean, and the colleges are even farther away. So I wouldn't have the dialogue with them, albeit texting, if I didn't have that kind of technology available to me today.
You know, I was with someone. We were talking about this, and they said that the shortest and most important messages that are text are the shortest messages. the ones that say thinking of you, how are you, hello, good morning. Those are the things that make more sense. Because that and they could be your niece or your grandchild so many miles away. I think that's wonderful. A little hello from 3,000 miles away. Good morning.
Yeah.
I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, and it doesn't need to be a long dissertation.
Well, dissertation or not, we continue on, and maybe that problem will be fixed by conversation. We're working on it. Carl Sabatino with Roland Smith. This is Smith Sabatino on the America Weekend. Heard on the Envision Radio Networks. We're back, please.
No, you have to keep talking.
Why
Carl?
Do I have to? I've got a room here, ladies and gentlemen, with hands up in the air. It's like a fight.
I'd say, Carl, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
America Weekend. Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. What's the one thing people fear more than death, taxes, public speaking, and the dentist? Fear of failure. And humans go out of their way to avoid it. Here's the social science of it. Straight out of self-handicapping theory, fear of failure accounts for all the excuses people make because fear of failure equals fear of losing.
I'm a loser.
The next time you hear an employee say, I have a headache, or a student advise the dog gave my homework, or an athlete say the referee made a bad call, what they're really saying is, I think I might fail, so I'll handicap my performance in advance so you will not be so critical of me. What's the cheap psychological trick? Avoid excuses. They just announce loudly to sit back and watch, because here comes a possible failure. Send me an email at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Welcome to American Biker Minute. Harley-Davidson has inked a 75-year deal to preserve its place at the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally.
Yeah?
Is it too soon to book for the year 2090? Daytona, are you listening? Today on American Biker Minute.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with two free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. Harley-Davidson has locked in the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally for the next 75 years. This extremely out-there deal includes plans for a concert stage and year-round permanent structure scheduled to open just in time for this year's 75th Sturgis in early August. Hey, book your 2090 campsite now. American Biker Minute, your passport to the open road on two wheels.